Thank you, Pastor, and good evening. Okay, we're on. First of all, thank you, church family, for your warm welcome to us and your love and prayers for us. We certainly are feeling the contrast right now between Cairns and Sydney, but the Lord is gracious and has certainly continued to bless us as we've moved 2,500 kilometres back, and that's a long story in and of itself. I was saying to Pastor, I'm just going to share a short testimony tonight, because as you may imagine, the sorrow in our heart is still very great for leaving a people we've grown to love and minister to, and they miss us greatly. So once when we're settled and our emotions are a little bit more settled, we'd love to show some photos that we may rejoice with you in what the Lord has done, and show you some photos of souls saved and Christians who have made wonderful choices for the Lord. And we are just so thankful that the Lord allowed us to serve Him. Though we went up to stay, the Lord having revealed it was but for a season, we are so grateful that we had that season to serve Him in Cairns and to see mighty things done through us, though it wasn't of us, but the Lord used us. And we're just so thankful that we can serve the Lord. And I just wanted to share a quick testimony of how the Lord has led. For those of you who may not know, last year was the time when the Lord began to work in my heart regarding His direction for our lives. There are a number of requests I was bringing before the Lord. Some of them are just practical family needs as far as where we would live permanently in Cairns and what we would do as far as schooling is concerned. Some of them practical, some of them spiritual decisions regarding the church. And it just seemed to me that the Lord was continuing to set some limitations in place. Not anything sinister or negative, but limitations that the Lord revealed that I needed to seek His will regarding the permanency of our stay in Cairns. And as I began to pray, the Lord began to speak about returning to where we came from. And that's been a year seeking the Lord's will and asking Him to clarify His leading. The Lord said, come up hither, in Revelation 4:1, as you might remember, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. And that was in many ways an open door, but the Lord promised to show us what the next steps would be year after year, and here we are today. As the Lord began to show me in His Word His will for us to depart, my greatest concern was for the church, being without a pastor once again, what would take place. During that year, last year, there was a particular missionary pastor who had a desire to return. And as he visited the church and the church took a vote to receive him as their pastor, as we were packing, he responded to the invitation and unfortunately he wasn't able to come. So based upon that, we decided to stay, and it was a great relief because we had come to the point of leaving and realized how much we wanted to stay. I'm sure you've experienced that before when suddenly you're about to lose something or about to say goodbye to someone, you realize the importance and the value of that closeness of the relationship. But we decided to stay and had settled too. But the Lord continued to work in our hearts and in our lives through the next months. He continued to speak to me through His Word to reconfirm what He initially said was His will and direction for us. So when I revealed that to the church family, they were gracious enough to give us their blessing and encourage us to move forward in the will of God as they seek a pastor for the church. So this Wednesday, one of the young men who was saved last year, Lachlan, is going to preach for the first time. So So this will be a stretching time for him. I believe that the Lord has gifted him for the ministry, and he certainly has grown. And he's going to be sharing a little devotion on Wednesday night, so pray for him. And Huey and Andy will be teaching and preaching during this time as well. We've streamlined a few of the ministries just to make it manageable. And the church is continuing to pray for the Lord's will regarding a pastor. So please pray for them. But I've heard from Brother Huey and everything is moving along well. The church family is attending faithfully. And this is certainly a stretching time of faith. A faith that will test the hearts of God's people. Who is really there for the Lord and for his work, and who may not be. So please pray for the church. It is a sensitive time for them and also a sensitive time for us. We appreciate your prayers. We are walking by faith into this new season of time, not knowing what lies ahead. But let me encourage you, church family, that your labours in prayer and in giving to us and for the ministry has not been in vain. Amen. Has not been in vain. The Lord taught a wonderful parable where he said, make ye friends of the mammon of unrighteousness by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, when your stewardship on this earth is over, that they, those friends, may receive you into everlasting habitations. And by your prayers and by your giving, let me encourage you, you have made some eternal friends. You've made some eternal friends. Friends that are a part of this ministry by the extension of your support for us. It's eternal souls that are saved. You know, in leaving the ministry in Cairns, you know, my fears have been, you know, what will happen? What will happen to the people? You know, will the fruit remain? Well, if it is a work of God, then it will. An eternal soul cannot be lost. Those who have grown, it cannot be undone, as the work of the Lord has been revealed. So one of the highlights was the final service, probably the hardest service, but the final service was a church anniversary service for 10 years of God's faithfulness, and also a farewell service, and a number of the church family stood up and gave a testimony of God's goodnesses to them. And a number of them stood up to share how they had been saved during the last 4 years. And we know that can never be undone. So we're thankful for the Lord's goodnesses and a number of others that were saved but were a part of our soul-winning training program when we, a couple of years ago, opened up our home and had a course on how to lead a soul to Christ. We're sharing how they were able to witness more effectively and are now part of the new door-knocking ministry in the church. Pray for the men. The men are not as bold as the ladies. I think that's biblical. Amen. If you look at the ladies, they were last at the cross, first at the tomb, and they were the first to go out door-knocking. So a challenge to the men perhaps tonight here also. And please pray for our men that they would be just as bold to go out regularly. They are going out, but not as regular. And the ladies are out every Wednesday before prayer meeting, committed to going out and witnessing to the community in Cairns. And as we've stepped away, we are confident the Lord is continuing his work. But please pray for them as we have moved on. At the moment, we're looking for a home to rent for the time being as we seek the Lord's will. The Lord simply said to return and he'll show us the next step. So we appreciate your prayers, and until then, you're stuck with us. And we're going to enjoy being here and as we seek the Lord's will to continue to serve here as the Lord wills. So thank you for your attention tonight. Tonight we're going to look at a subject, if you turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, a subject that is very personal to me, my family at this time. And it's the subject of fear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, deals with this subject in a wonderful way, using the life example of Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, verse number 27, at any time of change, any time of uncertainty, if we are all made of the same stuff, which we are, you would understand that we all have fears. Fears of the uncertainty, fears of the unknown, and fears of what we are experiencing. Some of them are potential fears, others are very real, in your face, confronting fears. And here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, we're going to look this evening at how faith endures fear. Faith endures fear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, let's read together this one verse out loud on two. One, two. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your eternal word. And Lord, thank you for the reminder this day through the preaching, through the memory verses, Lord, that all bring us back to the wonderful truths that your Holy Spirit wants to remind us of today. Lord, that you are our God. And Lord, we can hide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, we thank you that in thy presence is fullness of joy. And Lord, how little we know of that fullness so often. Help us, Lord, to draw nigh to thee with a pure heart, knowing we have that wonderful liberty in Christ to come through the veil that is his flesh, come through to the holy place. And we are invited to do so, to commune with you. Lord, as we open your word, may you draw nigh to us. And speak to our hearts and to our lives that we may leave this place strengthened in faith to face the challenges, the battles, the attacks of this week, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I heard a little story about a mother and a daughter who were going to sleep one night. The mother was putting her four-year-old daughter to bed, drawing the curtains, and the young child asked her not to because the moon was out and she was comforted by the light that was coming in. The mother was a little bit fearful as well to go to sleep that night because her husband was away traveling on work. And when the light was out, the child said to her mother, she said, "Mum, did God create the moon?" She said, "Yes, that is God's light. God created the moon, the Bible says, to be a light during the night time." And she asked her mother, "Well, does God ever switch out his light and go to sleep?" And this little child's mum said, "No, in fact, God never sleeps. He's always awake. He's always watching over us." And then out of a simple childlike faith, this little girl said to her mum, "Well, as long as God is awake, there is no point in you and I both staying awake." And you know, faith is simple. And God says it needs to be childlike. We complicate it, but it needs to be simple. And the reality is that God, as we heard this morning, is always watching over us. And we have that privilege of hiding under his shadow by comforting our hearts in his word and obedience to his word. And we see this evening once again in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27 that it is faith that overcomes impossibilities of fear. Hebrews 11 verse 27 says, "By faith he," that is Moses, "forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." And most of the time when we face something we fear, we think at best we're just going to scrape through. We hold on to God like a safety rope, but so often we just expect him to drag us through by the skin of our teeth. That's not what this word endure means in verse 27. The word endure means to be strong. The word endure means to be steadfast in patience. And it refers to this wonderful subject in Hebrews 11 called faith. God says to us as believers, yes, you will face real fears as Christians, real attacks, real spiritual battles, but just like Moses of old, we too can endure by faith. We too can endure by faith. Now, here in chapter 11, we need to carefully understand the stage of Moses' life in Verse number 23, we read of Moses' parents, how they hid him. Verse 24, 25, 26, we read of Moses' decisions when he fled Egypt, rejecting the riches, rejecting the wickedness, and choosing to identify himself with the people of God. And then we come to verse 27. Now, the Bible says that he forsook Egypt by faith, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, I believe that this verse is referring to the time he returned to Egypt. Why is that? Well, the first time he forsook Egypt, he fled from the wrath of the king. Remember, Pharaoh was after him, wanted to kill Moses for killing an Egyptian, and he fled from Pharaoh. He fled from the wrath of the king. Now, 40 years later was the time when God said to Moses, Moses, you're going back to Egypt. You're going to face your fears, and you're going to learn what it means to endure by faith, to endure the fear that you ran from. And now God was taking this man Moses back, yes, to bring his people out of Egypt, but also to do a work in the heart of Moses, to prepare him for the greater battles ahead, as you know. So tonight we're going to see a glimpse of how faith endures fear as Moses returned to Egypt to face the king. Notice in Exodus chapter 5, if we turn to the book of Exodus, as we look in detail at these events, Exodus chapter 5, thank you for turning there. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1, let's have a look what Moses saw as he went back to Egypt to confront the Pharaoh. Now, sometimes we read over these verses and we don't take in the entire impact or the entire overwhelming situation that Moses found himself in. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now notice first of all in verse 1, Moses and Aaron went to see Pharaoh. Now we could easily read over that verse and move on to the next one, but understand this was not a comfortable thing for Moses to do. Understand that people today, even today, take tours to Egypt to view for themselves the grandness, the glory of one of the seven wonders of the world, and the greatness of what Egypt was in its most powerful day. But can you imagine being Moses and walking into the throne room of Pharaoh himself, for he was there, was he not? Pharaoh wasn't sitting in a side office of his palace and saying, all right, let Moses come to me. No, Pharaoh was adorned, as you can imagine, in all his royal glory. He was in a place that no doubt spoke of the power and the immense wealth of Egypt. Remember, Pharaoh wasn't an ordinary man in the Egyptians' eyes. He was worshipped as a living god on earth. That's how they saw him. Now, as the most powerful empire on earth at the time that had conquered the known world, can you imagine walking into a place like that, that spoke of the glory of this man, the power of this man, the reality that this man, this king, wanted all to worship him and bring them down in humility to fear him? That's what the landscape would have spoken of in the city. That's what the hall would have spoken of that Moses and Aaron went into. It was a confrontational time. It was a fearful time that Moses and Aaron walked into the palace of the king. Can you imagine the demonic wickedness in that city? No doubt was there a human oppression, but there was a demonic oppression because of all the idolatry, because of all the wicked religious worship and immorality that took place in that religion and in that city. The pride of Pharaoh was on display to be seen by all. Now, no doubt Pharaoh had his bodyguards, having the most powerful army on the earth with the state of the art weapons at the time, chariots and the latest technology and weaponry. No doubt he had his bodyguards. So in comes Moses, in comes Aaron. Now, who did Moses have to back him up? Now, Pharaoh had his army to back him up. Who did Moses have? His brother. As he walked into the Lord. He had the Lord, absolutely. You beat me to it. He had his brother. That's all he had. Now, as far as weaponry, what did Moses have in his hand? Well, he had the rod of God, that's right, but he had a shepherd's staff. So on a human level, I'm just trying to paint a picture here that this was a fearful moment. This was a fearful moment that any of us would have been worried and full of fear at what might happen next. Moses went in with his brother. My brother's here tonight. I can imagine walking in with Thomas. He would have been Moses because he has the beard. And I would have just been following along. And we would have gone in, and I'm sure at some point I would have said to Thomas, Thomas, maybe we should turn around. Maybe we should go to see Pharaoh another day. Maybe this isn't the will of God because I don't feel too good right now. You know, it's one thing to picture a confrontational moment in your mind, isn't it? It's another thing to enter into it. But the Bible teaches us that Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, but they went much further than that. They made a demand of Pharaoh, which in the Egyptian culture would have been considered as blasphemy against this God-man, so-called. To come in and not humble themselves and beg for the Pharaoh for mercy from Pharaoh, but in fact to demand that he would let their people go. Let them go. It wasn't a request, friends. It was an order, if we read our Bibles correctly. Is that right? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Now, how on earth was Moses and Aaron able to do that? Well, verse 27 in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. The Bible says that they endured, Moses endured, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As him who is invisible. Now, let's stop right there for a moment before we look into that verse in Hebrews 11 more closely. Understand what's taking place here. God is allowing Moses and Aaron to enter into a confrontational situation. Now, so often in our lives, when we face fearful times, fearful events, battles, potential fears, what do we ask the Lord to do? We ask him to take them away. Lord, take this out of my life. Lord, I don't want to deal with this. I don't know what to do with this. Lord, please remove this problem from me. And yet here in the book of Exodus, we see God said to Moses, Moses, go to Egypt. I want you to face your fears. I want you to face the wrath of the king. I want you to endure by faith. Now, God sometimes removes those obstacles from our path. He removes those fears. Some of them are potential fears, and then we spend time in the Word of God, and we're instantly encouraged. And then those events never come to pass. Is that correct? They were just in our mind. Well, the devil attacks us in our flesh. But then there are other times where those fears are real. And they're right in front of us. They're not going away. They're right there. And we have to deal with them. And so often we ask the Lord to take them away. Lord, take this situation away. I don't want to deal with this. And I don't want to face this. And yet the Lord said to Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go through this fearful time, this fearful experience. And at the same time, remember, as God prepared Moses, he promised Moses, certainly, I will be with thee. Amen. And so Moses endured by seeing him who is invisible. But don't miss it. God won't always remove situations of potential fear from us. He won't do that. Sometimes he'll just let us go through them. Why? Because he wants us to grow through them. He wants us to trust in him in a greater way. He wants us to be strong in faith to endure. Psalm 119, verse 71, I'm sure some of you know it well. The psalmist said in verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. That's a hard statement to make at a time of difficulty. It's only one we can make by faith. Why? The psalmist said, that I might learn thy statutes. Look, if God took away all those fearful moments of your life, how much would we trust in him by faith? Very little. So God allows us to go through that valley in order to trust in him. God allows us to face our fears. Think about Joshua and the city of Jericho. God said, cross the river, I want you to face your fears. Think about David and Goliath. God said to David, no doubt, I want you to stand for my cause and face this giant. I want you to go through this fearful moment by trusting in me. Daniel, well, this whole time in the book of Daniel, the lion's den at the end. Fearful moments. You know, let's not forget that these were real men. Amen? But with a real God. And they endured as seeing him who is invisible. So the question is, what fearful moment are you facing right now? What are you fearing? That's up ahead or very present in your life? Understand that God will lead us through times of fear, times of peril. Now, I'm not suggesting that anyone's trying to take your life at this time, as Pharaoh did want to take Moses' life in the beginning and now here in the book of Exodus. But we face fearful moments. We face fearful confrontations. We face fearful thoughts, perhaps fearful dreams in the night, those wretched, wicked dreams that we just need to wake up from and have some time with the Lord in his word and in prayer. Fearful thoughts. Our flesh, our wicked, sinful flesh fears something right now, causing us to fear, to worry. What is that? Can you pinpoint it? Are you seeing how God sometimes gives us opportunities for faith to confront those fears by trusting in him? You see, Moses, as he entered into Pharaoh's presence, could see a lot around him that would cause him to fear. But he wasn't looking at what was around him. He wasn't looking at the power and might and glory of Pharaoh. Who was he looking at? At him who is invisible, but very real and greater than anything that Pharaoh could afflict him with. See, there was much that Moses could see. What about what Moses could hear? What Moses could hear. Notice with me, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, that Moses did not fear the wrath of the king. The wrath of the king. And I believe that has more to do not with how the king appeared, but what the king said. What the king said. The word wrath here in the book of Hebrews doesn't describe Pharaoh sitting on his throne with his arms crossed and saying, Moses, I don't like what you're saying. Moses, come back and see me tomorrow. Let me think about it. No, Pharaoh wasn't playing games. The word wrath means fiery indignation. It sounds like the holiness of God. But on a wicked level, Pharaoh was a wicked king and he was full of sinful wrath. He was full of fleshly wrath. He was full of fierce, wicked intentions. No one would tell this man what to do, and he was a wrathful man. And this is the man that Moses had to face. This was the path, the only path that he could go through in order to do God's will in his life. And this was not an imagined fear. This was something that God had led Moses to walk through by faith. Now, in summary, between Exodus chapter 5, as we read verse 1, and Exodus chapter 10, the Bible tells us time after time that God unleashed ferocious plagues upon the nation of Israel. And these plagues were God's confrontational moments of opposition against Pharaoh to bring the greatest kingdom of man to its very knees. My Bible is a little bit descriptive. It's got titles in it, and it speaks about the first showdown with Pharaoh. That's what they were, these plagues. And they were designed to bring Pharaoh to his knees. The one who wanted to humble everyone else was being humbled by God. But as you know in your Bibles, time after time, what happened? His heart was hardened. He hardened his own heart, and then God said, that's enough, I'm going to harden it now. You've lost your opportunity for repentance. But he hardened his heart, and notice in Exodus chapter 10 what the Pharaoh said to Moses. He had had enough. He'd had enough of Moses, he had had enough of God, he'd had enough of the plagues. And notice Exodus chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Exodus chapter 10, verse 28, look with me there. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me. Take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And I can picture in my mind Pharaoh's royal servants noting that down somewhere. This is a decree of Pharaoh. Moses comes back into this palace. He is a dead man. This is it. Pharaoh's patience is over. And I believe that this is what Hebrews chapter 11 verse 27 is describing. The wrath of the king. His fierce indignation against Moses, against Aaron, against the people of God. His wrath that Moses had to face. But the Bible tells us that Moses was not moved. Now, this is amazing. Moses was not moved. Though his life could have ended in an instant, potentially, would you agree? He was in a very vulnerable position. Just Moses and Aaron. His backup. His brother. A shepherd's rod. Against the greatest empire upon the face of the earth. There was Moses. Now, Pharaoh was making perhaps any imagined fear that Moses had very real. He said, Moses, I will kill you. You will be dead if you come into my presence once again. But Hebrews 11 verse 27 fills in the gaps. For he endured. Moses endured. He did not fear the wrath of the king. He endured by seeing him who is invisible. You see, he turned from what he could see physically. He turned from what he could hear audibly. And he looked to the living God and hid under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, that's exactly what you and I need to do with that fear right now that we are facing. We can see it. Some of you can hear it. But it is the Lord that is in control. And we can endure. That means to be strong, not just to be dragged through by the skin of our teeth, not just to hold on for the rapture, if you will, not just to hopefully wake up and it'll all disappear the next day, but we can endure and be strong in faith if we look to the Lord. If we see him who is invisible, and how do we see him? Through the word of God. Amen. Moses saw God. He saw his promises unfolding one after another. Do you remember when Moses was being prepared by God? There on Mount Sinai, God said to Moses, this is what I want you to do. And Moses said, Lord, this is terrible. You're sending me back to the place I ran from. I don't want to go back there. And then he continued to argue with God. He continued to doubt God. And God graciously, lovingly, firmly gave him wonderful promises. He said, Moses, certainly I will be with thee. He promised his presence. God promises us his presence each day, does he not? As we heard this morning. God promises us his presence each day. Moses said, they're not going to listen to what I'm saying. And God said, don't worry. I'll work through you and do the miraculous. So they'll get their attention. Don't worry. Amen. And Moses said, well, you know, what am I going to do? How can I do this? And God said, I'll provide for all your needs. I'll give you a rod of God. And I will do the impossible. And God gave Moses promise after promise. So when he faced that fearful situation continuously during his time in Egypt, he endured continuously. Why? Because he was trusting in the promises of God. That's how he endured. He didn't just look up to the clouds and say, okay, well, God is with me today. The optimistic believer will do that. That's not necessarily faith. Optimism is not necessarily faith. For those of you who went through this wonderful study on the apostles, some were optimists, some were pessimists, but the Lord said to the whole bunch of them, where is your faith? Isn't that right? Where is your faith? So often he rebuked them for their lack of faith. Optimism is not necessarily faith. Saying, well, everything's going to turn out, so there's no need to worry. Friends, that's not faith. That's not enduring. Now, saying everything's going to be a disaster, but God loves me anyway, so it's okay. Well, being pessimistic is not necessarily faith either. And sometimes the pessimist will say, well, if it doesn't turn out to be a disaster, I'll expect the worst, and if it's better than that, well, that's a bonus. And that's my faith. Friends, that's not faith either. The Bible says that faith endures fear. Faith endures fear, overcomes fear continuously. How? By looking to Almighty God, to continuously trusting in Him. Psalmist David said in Psalm 27, notice there with me as we draw to a close, Psalm chapter 27. God certainly hasn't given us a lack of examples in His Word of believers like you and I that faced horribly fearful situations, horribly fearful confrontational moments. Psalm chapter 27, notice what David said in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Believer, are you in a dark place right now, where it seems like everything you see and hear is discouraging, oppressing, causes you to buckle at the knees physically in weakness? Well, the psalmist realized that the Lord is my light. He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. He can strengthen, as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, the feeble knees. God can strengthen the feeble knees. Amen? He can enable us to run, that is to endure, by faith, by looking to Him and His Word. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. That sounds pretty serious. That sounds pretty serious. Eat up my flesh. They stumbled, fell, trusting in the providence of God, His almighty power to overcome any obstacle, any enemy. Verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. What will he be confident in? Well, that the Lord is his light and salvation. So very simply this evening, we're just being reminded of what we heard this morning. That the Lord is the one we need to look to during fearful moments, because God has promised us, likewise with Moses, faith endures fear. Believer, are you enduring the fears of your week at the moment? Are you enduring them? That is, to be strong in overcoming them? Or are you simply suffering through them and being dragged through them, as you might feel tonight? God is our fortress. Amen. He is our high tower. And yet, as we were once again reminded this morning, we have an enemy. We have an enemy, and you might think, well, the devil's just out to get me. Friends, he doesn't care anything about you at all. He doesn't care one mite about your life. What he cares about is his own glory. And if God wants to work through you, the reason why he's trying to defeat you is to diminish the glory of God and increase his own. He doesn't care anything about you. It's not about you, my friends. It is about the glory of God and the salvation of souls. And we have a real enemy, and we need to step back and understand that the fears that await us in our lives are a part of the spiritual battle. Amen. He is a fearmonger, the devil. That's what he is. And you and I have a sinful flesh, and so often the fears that we struggle with are not of God at all. They're of our flesh, and they're of the devil. Now, he is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What is a lion's roar designed to do? What is it meant to do? Inflict what? Fear. Fear. How is the roaring lion causing you to fear in your life? A roaring lion. Now, fear is something we all struggle with. One missionary put it very eloquently. He said, without fear, you cannot have faith. That fear, you cannot have faith. God wants us to endure the fear by faith. But we have an adversary who is a fearmonger, and he wants you to stay weak. He wants you to stay incapable of being a witness. Amen. That's his goal, to cripple your witness so that you're fearful in the workplace. I'll lose my job if I speak up, so I won't say anything. Your ministry, your mission field is over in the workplace, if you're fearful. If I speak up at school or at university, if I speak up in my neighborhood, or someone suddenly attacks you for your faith and you begin to fear being attacked again. Is it sounding familiar? You've been through this before. You see, the devil is a fearmonger. And if we don't endure by faith, we're exactly where he wants us. But thank the Lord, God has given us a wonderful example in Moses that we can emulate today by trusting God and seeing him who is invisible and continuing to walk with him in his word. Those fiery darts of the devil, the only way we can quench them is to lift up the shield of faith. Amen? The shield of faith. The shield of faith. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Remember the snare of the fowler this morning? The snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. If people know I'm a Christian, they might not like me anymore. I may lose my job. I may lose my friends. I may be attacked if I go door knocking on Saturday. People find out who I really am. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Friends, we can be delivered from our fears simply by looking to him by faith. By looking to him by faith. At the burning bush, God gave Moses the promise of his presence, the promise of his power, the promise of his enabling, the promise of his protection, and that is how Moses endured. Friend, if you are facing a fear, you need to check your thoughts and find a verse as you walk with the Lord, as he finds one for you, in fact, and memorize that verse. Equip your heart with the word of God so that when that fear overwhelms you, as it will, you can then cast down that imagination with the word of God by seeing him who is invisible. As we close tonight, you and I are in one of two categories. Either we are just afraid and worried and trembling right now and in a place of darkness, or we are enduring those fears by faith, one or the other. The one needs to become the other. God wants us to walk by faith. Now, the many unknowns that lay ahead of me and my family are very real. The fears of perhaps thinking back of the past are very real. The fears of what others may think of us is very real. But yet, God says, I want you to endure. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. As we cling to the word of God, we can overcome those fears. I trust the Lord will continue to help us to grow together as we endure, as Moses did, these fears in our lives by faith.